We are going to move on to the presentation by Mr. Jose Miguel Insulza, candidate for the reelection as Secretary General of the OAS. It's my honor to offer you the floor. Chairman, just as you say, I've come before the Permanent Council, and I am addressing you today to request your support for my bid for re-election as Secretary General of the Organization of American States for the period 2010-2015. In response to the question between the relationship between the Assistant Secretary General's office and my office, I am not opposed or don't reject any of the issues that he has addressed. These are issues that he is quite adroit at dealing with, but as far as the issue of Haiti or national offices and all the different tasks that the Assistant Secretary General's office carries forth, I would be more than happy to answer questions on that. I've had the honor and the privilege to stand at the helm of this institution, the main forum of the Americas, whose chief roles are to maintain peace, bolster and foster democracy, to promote justice, and to open up new opportunities for prosperity and equality for all of the countries of the hemisphere. I have traversed many times this region, and I have worked tirelessly along with this council, the Assistant Secretary General, and the autonomous organizations, and an admirable host of men and women that make up the Secretariat to promote these goals. That is why, when I request your support, I do so with an outlook for the future, but also to in response to what OAS has achieved. Over the last 5 years, we have faced a number of complex challenges. These have not been tranquil years because the hemisphere has gone through a period of transformation as a result of the advent from the 90s on of a wave of democracy that has enabled citizens of the Americas to fully be aware of their rights and to demand of these democracies greater justice, greater equality, sustainable development, and effective improvement of their standard of life. The inevitable clash of the demands of democracy and equality, along with the precarious development of our economies and the weakness of some of our states, has created some internal and external imbalances that we have to address. All of these conflicts have passed through our offices, unlike other occasions. The Organization of American States has been present in all of the major happenings of the region. Those who criticize us today don't doubt how relevant our organization has been over these years. We have seen how the OAS's involvement, which oftentimes has been criticized out of hand over the years, can play a constructive role in offering solutions to disputes and in carrying out useful programs to improve the lot of people throughout the region. With a relatively small number of professionals and a modest budget, we have taken on some of the multilateral challenges that have been most difficult for this period of transformation. Talking about changing of government, crime, economic crises, and growth and progress and hope as well. The background of the reality of the Americas is that in this region of democracy, many citizens are still wondering when they are going to be able to benefit from the results of these of this democracy in terms of decent work, education, health, security, and an effective improvement of their how their government's institutions operate. The citizens of the Americas love their democracy. The North America and the Caribbean inherited this democracy. It has been conquered recently in Latin America, but it no longer suffices for them to elect their governments. They want to see them govern democratically, to expand liberty, to ensure security, to protect the environment, to promote justice, and to better distribute the fruits of growth. I said this when I took office 5 years ago, and I reiterate this, as some people might forget I said it at the time, that it doesn't suffice to be democratically elected. One has to govern democratically. That is the essence of our Inter-American Democratic Charter, the instrument that best reflects today the common ideals of our peoples. How has the OAS faced under our stewardship these realities, I would like to briefly reflect on some of these issues, some of our achievements, before talking about my vision for the next 5 years. The Organization of American States plays a unique role as the main forum of political dialogue in this hemisphere. I would like to underscore this concept. According to our charter, all of the independent countries of the Americas make up the OAS on an equal footing. This can sometimes make dialogue more difficult because oftentimes, and we are all aware of this, our countries and our governments don't always think the same way about key issues. But as a matter of principle, the OAS does not exclude or pursue anybody. We only require that everyone play by the same rules that we have agreed to freely in our organization. Through the summits of the Americas, our General Assemblies, the biannual meetings of ministers of social development, work, public security, education, justice, defense, culture, women's issues, our permanent council, our Integral Development Council, and so many other specialized bodies and meetings, we have come up with an agenda that is expressed in rules and conventions and programs that is geared toward achieving our goals. These goals are clear. The OAS works to expand democracy and liberty, to ensure that everyone is a part of the democratic process, to protect human rights, peace, and security by expanding the rule of law and making it possible for citizens to have access to an impartial justice system and one that is independent, as well as to partake of the benefits of sustainable development. Over the last 5 years, we have had numerous opportunities to show our will to face crises and the conflicts that have arisen. We have played an active role in dialogue, and we have had to act in given situations that have undermined democracy and peace. Now, we can look at our mediation in the political institutional crisis in Nicaragua in 2005. Two, our participation between 2006-2009 in the process of change and transformation in the democracy of Bolivia, where we were present from the beginning to the end. I was the only international, high-level international person there in the enactment of the new constitution. Three, the special mission to back the democracy process in Haiti with an electoral base of 3.55 million people with trustworthy credentials, in which Haiti had the most transparent election of its history. We had our civil registry project in Haiti. 90% participation in the ID card program. Four, our program to reestablish the Supreme Court of Justice in Ecuador in 2005 and the reform process of the Constitution between 2007-2008. Five, our mediation in the territorial dispute between Belize and Guatemala that has made it possible for us to keep peace in the area and to forge ahead with taking this dispute before the Hague, which calls for legislative agreement in both countries. Also, the immediate action and good offices to deal with the situation that arose between Colombia and Ecuador March 1st of 2008, which led to the mission that I headed up with representatives of the Permanent Council to the crisis zone, and the convening of the consultation of ministers of foreign ministers and the good offices mission, which has borne fruit with a renewed dialogue directed between the parties and the assignment of or further operation there. Seven, our support to the peace process in Colombia in 2004, which sought to identify ceasefire initiatives as well as to put a cessation of hostilities, demobilization, disarmament, and the reinsertion process for ex-combatants. And 30,000 people of the AUC, Auto Defense Units of Colombia, were demobilized. Now, the what took place at the last General Assembly, in which the resolution 1962 that excluded Cuba from the Inter-American system was lifted, which led to doing away with this outdated vestige of the Cold War, pointing out that the government was going to make effective its re-inclusion back to the OAS, would have to do so through a process of dialogue in keeping with OAS principles. Our immediate action in the political crisis in Guatemala in May of 2009, where the Permanent Council backed the invocation of the Inter-American Democratic Charter on the part of President Alvaro Corón, that charged the Secretary General to head up the Good Office's mission to Guatemala to mediate in the conflict. The political crisis in Honduras, therefore, was not the first, but the 10th critical situation that we had to deal with over the last couple of years. The truth is, we did everything we could to reestablish democracy in Honduras, including supporting President Oscar Arias's proposal to set off this internal dialogue process, to sponsor the signing of a political agreement of national reconciliation and a truth commission. In all of our decisions, we had to enjoy the support of the international community. No country in the world recognized the de facto government of Roberto Micheletti, and within that context, all of the international organizations and agencies of bilateral cooperation suspended relations with Honduras. However, a chief objective of reinstating the constitutional government of that country was not achieved, and Honduras is still sidelined from this organization, although we hold out hope that in short order we will be able to bring it back into the fold. That is, rather than point fingers, we need to look for better conclusion ways of solving these crises to ensure that our region no longer has to deal with such conflicts. I think that it's a fact that multilateralism today has shown its shortcomings. The OAS and all international organizations are made up of sovereign states, and the respect that this sovereignty imposes are clear limits. And you could suspend a country from an organization, you can isolate it internationally, or you can impose economic sanctions, but all within certain parameters. In Honduras, the de facto powers that carried out the coup knew full well that they were going to have to hold out for a short period of time, and they had the support of non-governmental foreign powers to withstand that period. Our legal instruments are the most powerful ones that we have in our region. However, they weren't invoked on time in this instance. According to the requirements of the executive power to act, Ecuador, on the 1st of March, invoked the provisions of the OAS Charter on the inviolability of territory. Same thing happened with Nicaragua in 2005, Bolivia on a number of occasions, Guatemala in 2009. All of them resorted to the Inter-American Charter. But the rupture of democracy was already unavoidable when it was finally invoked by Honduras. There is no doubt that in order to strengthen our democracies, we have to think up different ways of applying the Inter-American Democratic Charter before and not after crises arise. Unlike this and in other cases, the government of Honduras did not think it was necessary to resort to the OAS, in this case, the Inter-American Democratic Charter, until they were on the brink of a rupture of the democratic order in their country and at the behest of numerous requests. I think that, as what happened in Nicaragua and in Guatemala, had Bolivia sent a mission to the OAS with clear mandates based on our Inter-American Democratic Charter, we could have avoided a break from democracy in Honduras. That is sufficient reason for us to look to rethink our procedures, to make them more nimble and quick procedures that would make it possible for the Secretary General to bring these issues before the organization in a preventive way, preemptive way, so that we can all work hard to avoid these problems that cause so much trouble for all of us. Although the media cast light on these crises, most of the work done at the OAS have focused on issues that are a substantive part of the Inter-American Democratic Charter. Orderly elections that are participatory, free, and clean, in keeping with OAS goals as enshrined in the Inter-American Democratic Charter. During my term at the OAS, we have observed 47 electoral processes, including elections and referendums. And among them, I'm not only talking about national processes, but also primary and local elections, because countries request increasingly our presence. We could say that the observation of the OAS has become a stamp of approval, that elections are increasingly competitive and clean, and that our team has become an excellent team that offers technical assistance to enhance the electoral and pre-electoral process in a number of the member countries. But our democratic charter explicitly adopts the idea that democracy is more than just elections. It includes key elements relating to human rights and freedom of expression, separation and independence of powers, the respect of the rule of law and democratic institutionality, transparency and honesty of governments, and at the same time, it enshrines the inseparable tie between democracy, development, and equity. That is why we have offered our unwavering support for the issue of human rights or the human rights system, upholding full respect for the autonomy of the Commission and the Court of Human Rights, which are the bodies that the Inter-American Convention of the OAS and the Charter, the Convention of Human Rights, has endowed with the authority to speak out and offer opinions on given situations in certain countries. We have backed programs like civil registries, judicial facilitators, judicial cooperation among member states, electronic government, and adherence to the Inter-American Convention Against Corruption. But as I said, the Inter-American Democratic Charter is a tie between democracy and development. We have a broad agenda to this effect, which emanates from the Summit of the Americas. Based on these mandates, we have created the Inter-American Network of Social Protection geared toward sharing best practices and ideas so that we can reach the poorest among our citizens with transfer programs, microcredit programs, and higher standards for health, education, and housing. In the area of education, we have successfully reformed our scholarship program, which has backed a large number of university students, technicians, professionals, vocational fields, benefiting 4,363 people during this period. That's an approximate number. In the area of multidimensional security, well, it didn't exist as such when I assumed my position in 2005 based on the concepts of the Special Conference on Security held in Mexico in 2003. We brought the traditional topics of security, the Inter-American Commission of Drug Abuse Control, SICAD, and the Inter-American Committee Against Terrorism, SICDE, and the very important program of demining. Sometimes we overlook that, but it is a very important program in the Americas to create the Secretariat of Multidimensional Security. Within said secretariat, we have pushed forward with a new way of fighting crime in our region, tackling topics such as trafficking in persons, youth gangs, and common crime. I convened the first meeting of ministers on public security in the Americas held in Mexico 2008. That was the first meeting of its type ever of authorities on this topic in the hemisphere. The second meeting of ministers was held in Santo Domingo in 2009. All of this makes it possible for me to assert that today the OAS has the necessary foundation for us to tackle these important issues through international cooperation, training programs, judicial reform, strengthening of the data systems on crime and related issues. Now, all of these things that I have mentioned have called for a substantial support for our budget. and our transparency or accountability system. When I took on this my role as Secretary General, we were going through a financial crisis here. The ambassador, Luis Inaujo, said something to me when he, in 2005, handed the OAS over to me. There's a translation of this. He's referring to the structural reform that my predecessor had carried out, a reform that is in place until today.
Though our structure is renewed, our finances are still in disrepair. It is as though our great ship had got no maintenance for its engines, and nothing more for sails than patchwork rags fit for an aging catamaran. Even with the savings achieved by the restructuring process, and even if existing quotas are paid in full and on time, income does not meet minimal operating requirements. El Secretario General.
The Secretary General at a session of the OAS, having served as the Assistant Secretary General, said that with all of the quotas that were being collected, there was still a shortfall. The minimum was not being met. Now, in a more realistic light, our Secretary of Finances, Ambassador Amagud, a few days later, said that with the revenue we had, there wasn't enough money to pay for salaries for the month of October. However, and that after personnel cuts, and now we have a budget for finance for 2011. Now the quotas have all been paid up to date. But it's necessary to acknowledge the importance of accountability and the enormous work carried out by way of seeking out greater efficiencies that our outside auditors, independent auditors, have been working on together with our in-house auditors, headed up by also the auditors of the Department of State of the United States. They have said, well, a lot of countries still think we have to do a lot by way of cutting costs. But let's recognize that we have made great strides to put our financial house in order. And together with that, we have tied all the specific funds to programs with clear objectives and with a rigorous accounting system that is open to the examination by anyone who would like to do so. Now, how are we going to move forward now in a constructive way to keep up the momentum that we have achieved thus far? First of all, we need to strengthen our multilateralism, which has been broad, modern, and multilateralism that we had during the Cold War whose major trait was confrontation. The OAS is not a supranational organization that can foist upon countries solutions or teach lessons. This is something that has been relegated to the past, and there's no place for it in this organization. What I want, however, is a multilateral organization of American states in which all of us work together based on common principles. As pointed out by President Obama, shortly after taking office, democracy is not something that can be imposed from abroad. It has to be built from within. And it has to be built mostly by citizens and social organizations of the countries themselves. I believe in an organization that has a presence in all of the countries of the region, that there must be a political representation of the OAS in all of these countries that conveys a clear message and carries out our programs. I believe in a close cooperation with the UN, with the organizations of the Inter-American system, and the sub-regional organizations that our region creates. I don't go along with the apprehensions that have arisen in some of the different as a result of some of the different dialogue bodies that have emerged. None of them are
competition for such a solid institution as ours insofar as they carry out true multilateralism. On the contrary, they can all benefit from the legal and organizational capacity that our organization has developed over the last few years. The summits of the Americas should be every 3 years. The culmination of these efforts, it is an event that is clearly tied to our organization and to setting the course and the strategy for the future. However, it does need to do so more organically than it has up till now. Second, in this modern form of multilateralism, as is practiced in the European Union, that should also be practiced in the Organization of American States, nations use their political institutions as a means for debating and achieving consensuses on common agendas. This agenda includes the traditional areas of prevention and conflict resolution among nations, but it goes beyond interstate relations. In modern multilateralism, we don't only pledge our countries to adopt common standards in the area of democracy, human rights, security, development, but we also forge together the networks and the mechanisms that support and carry out the commitments that we take on in other countries. In other words, our countries don't build democracy. They commit to democracy voluntarily, and they seek to perfect it through mechanisms that we all agree to within our organization. We already have some similar types of mechanisms. We have the multilateral evaluation of drugs mechanism, the mechanism for following up on the implementation of the Inter-American Convention Against Corruption, MESI-SEEC. We have our human rights system, which is the most perfected one. Our Inter-American Democratic Charter combines the detailed description of the different dimensions of democracy with specific steps that need to be taken when such democracy is undermined or threatened. But it also, I believe, has deficient mechanisms in the area of prevention. Now, I hope in my second period to increase our ability to identify potential problems and to prevent critical situations that could threaten democracy in member countries. I believe wholeheartedly that if we can foresee conflicts and act together, we can be constructive and useful in avoiding breaks with democracy. We need to be flexible in how we apply the Inter-American Charter. The Secretariat can be present in those countries in which we foresee some instability. It could be a useful element in this policy of prevention. The same applies to the presence of the Inter-American Commission of Human Rights, which 50 years after its inception, needs to be invited for it to take up given situations within member countries. On the other hand, over the next couple of years, we need to make an effort to step up our effort to strengthen democratic governance and to tie our work to the improvement of institutions, to improve people's lives, the respect of the rule of law and institutions, the existence of an independent and effective justice, one that where we enjoy the freedom of expression among citizens, where there is accountability among public powers, full participation of citizens in the government's goings-on, are some of the priorities that we need to continue to strive to enhance in the work that we do by way of strengthening democratic governance. We have institutions that we have developed in-house by way of complying with our mandates. The Inter-American Human Rights System should have the necessary wherewithal to carry out its goal. We need to seek out foreign support for this organization. And we also have to ensure that the commission, the court's rulings are abided by, as well as working on promoting the rights of Afro-descendants, indigenous peoples, avoid discrimination of any type. Now, I would like to also strive to bring about a balance between the organization's efforts in the area of political tasks and our development undertakings in the region. We already say that democracy and development are tied, and that needs to be shown in our daily activity. It's true that such an affirmation is something that, well, might seem too ambitious given how many topics it includes in our notion of development, but we can have a coherent agenda if we use it as a guideline, the Summit of the Americas process, and to have the clear mandates that it has given us to tackle poverty, employment, energy, environment, climate change, technological development, and education. Now, if we also coordinate with the other organizations of the Inter-American system, I can foresee an OAS that competitively takes on specific tasks such as tourism, promoting trade, early childhood education, employment for youth, and energy and renewable energy programs as well. On the other hand, we should focus our efforts on this and other fields, gearing it mostly toward the poorest and most vulnerable countries, especially in the area of strengthening education and institutions and human resource training. To this effect, once again, I would like to express my full backing for the institution's scholarship program, which has offered invaluable services to human resource training and creation in our countries. Something deserves special mention. That is a topic relative to some of the tragedies that have befallen our countries lately. The coordination of the preventive work and assistance brought to bear during natural disasters. Our hemisphere, as no other, has to deal with nature's lashing out at times, and we have to have the sufficient resources to bring to bear when these events happen without losing our ability to politically coordinate, which only our modern type of multilateralism will make possible. In fourth place, in the area of multidimensional security, we will maintain the emphasis that we've maintained up to now in the areas of public security, drug trafficking, money laundering, organized crime, trafficking in persons and weapons or arms. And we, through RIMCA, SICAD, SICTE, and our programs of public security, have carried out important tasks to that end. We have to also comply with the mandates of our organization in the area of transparency of military spending and confidence-building measures between our member states. The fact that over the last few decades ours has been a peaceful hemisphere is not a reason to ignore the imbalances that may exist between our countries and the ongoing conflicts, unresolved conflicts that persist, and the importation of conflicts from beyond our borders. Five, I would like to renew the issue of gender in the OAS. I am convinced that this organization can substantially broaden its efforts in this area, bearing in mind its cross-cutting nature beyond the contribution we have made in topics related to violence against women. We need to take on a leadership role in access to public and private jobs for women, education, health, and to also facilitate the lives of women who are heads of household in our region. In order for us to meet all of these goals, we're going to need more resources. I will, when the time comes, to offer my proposal for the budget for 2011, and as always, I will ask the member countries to set the ceiling that they deem necessary. But we do need to have cost of living increases that are fair, and if we don't do that, our organization is going to be dealing with ongoing shortfalls. We cannot have some outlays that adjust automatically and others that don't. I, on my part, would like to offer my promise to do everything that I can do to bring in the quotas that already exist and to keep up the specific funds so that we can strengthen the financing of our main programs to diversify our sources of revenue, and I also pledge to strengthen the strategic alliances with our traditional partners and with new partners, including, of course, the permanent observers, the civil society organizations, international agencies, private sector, and academia, among others. I will continue to forge ahead in the reform process internally of the Secretary General's office to bring our priorities in line with that of those of the member states, and to join forces with other organizations to achieve synergies and to bring mandates and our organization's goals into line with each other. Ladies and gentlemen, ambassadors, chairman, the OAS has a long history of working together to achieve common goals and to have the political will to make our goals reality. I ask for your support to continue this tradition, to be your partner in this modern multilateralism, to forge ahead with our agenda. And we have to consider all that the peoples of the Americas have to benefit from this. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Insulza. I now offer the floor to the